Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today. Make sure you check out the Patreon for early access in the description below, and the podcast in the description. I just have a quick message before the video starts today. If you're struggling with mental health issues, remember it's okay, and that it's important to seek out therapy because they're going to know your issues better than you can. Obviously not you as a person, but they'll understand how to make them better. So if you can seek that out, make sure you do, because I think it can make a big difference, or at least be a catalyst in change. Also, be conscious of the things you eat, because honestly, if you always eat bad food, it will actually make you feel worse in yourself and can lower your mood. It might be surprising to some, but even if you eat a relatively healthy diet now, then you start eating junk food for a day or two, you might notice a dip in your mood, so I think it's something to be mindful of. So I hope them two things can help somebody, and I hope you're all doing great today and enjoy these stories. Have a great day, and I'll speak to you all soon. I was once laying in bed with my dog at the foot of it. I was on the cusp of being asleep when suddenly my dog pops her head up and locks onto something in the middle of my room. Her head suddenly turns and follows something I can't see. Her head stops again, and my backpack gets knocked over. After having been in the same spot for hours, when suddenly I hear a loud bang on my bedroom window. By the way, I live on the second floor. I ran out so quick without daring to ever look what happened there. The only paranormal thing that happened to me was when I was a kid, and it was at my aunt's place. Every once in a while when we went to her house and stayed the night, I always ended up sleeping on the couch / sofa. Well, this was an old house with a room full of creepy dolls that were pretty terrifying, but nothing really weird happened with them. Although my cousins did say the dolls moved around a bit. Now, it had two floors, and a stair in the middle that ended right where I would sleep. So every time that everybody was asleep, I would turn around and I would hear a noise like a marble being dropped from the stairs that rolls down the floor. It would repeat about 5 or 6 times at night. No one plays with marbles and everybody was asleep, and I still can't think of a reason for this to this day. When I was younger, I'd always stay with my grandparents for the holidays. I really enjoyed it because I thought it was pretty cool where they lived, surrounded by nature. They also had a small wooden cabin in the back of their yard that I could go to sleep in. It was warm at night because my granddad had really good plug-in radiators, and I really enjoyed going there. There was one strange thing, however. My mum had always told me that there were mice that could make sounds at night, because she would hear them when she was younger, but my grandpa just laughed it off and said, "Oh, it's nothing." As long as I could remember, when I was falling asleep, I would hear a tapping sound on the outside of the cabin. It was almost like something was trying to feel its way in, but I was never really sure what. I was sure it had to be some kind of vermin because that was literally all they would do. I even left cheese out one night to see if they would take it, but nothing ever did. My idea of what this was, and my grandparents and family, all changed forever one day, however. Now, on one particular night, my grandpa was getting a little bit concerned about this and realized it might be something we should be worried about, and decided to sleep with me in the cabin. And guess what? We could hear the mice again. My grandpa laughed and says, "Oh, we probably should have left some cheese out for them." Just as we start laughing, we hear this blood-curdling scream sounding like it was coming from all sides of the cabin. We both hunker down. He covers my mouth and tells me, "Be quiet, please." My grandpa very bravely gets up with a flashlight and goes to investigate. As he opens the door, we can hear distant chanting from off in the woods. It sounds like it's coming from all directions. He says, "Come quick." He grabs my hand and we sprint inside to the house. My grandpa calls the cops, They arrive later, and my grandma's too scared to even answer the door for them. The cops eventually do an investigation, but they can't find anything. They too can hear the chanting, but can't triangulate where it is, until suddenly it stops. The cops never could find a trace of anyone, and they could never find out what the sound was. I'm sure as hell lucky that I didn't have to find out. And shortly after, my grandparents moved away from the property, and I don't know what happened. I was visiting family and staying in a hotel with my boyfriend, now husband. The first night we were there, we went to bed and I woke up in the middle of the night facing the window. I noticed there was a dark shadow in the corner of the room that appears human shaped. After a while, I realized it's probably a floor lamp since that corner's kind of bare, and that's the logical reasoning behind this. I rolled over and go back to bed. The following morning, I remembered this and turned over to look into the corner for the lamp. But there wasn't a lamp, and the corner's bare. I decided to tell my boyfriend and he went white. He told me that he woke up in the middle of the night because he felt as though he was being watched and was too scared to go to the bathroom initially, trying to shake the feeling. It still sticks with me when I'm in dark rooms. My husband and I stayed at a super old hotel. At the time, I didn't really believe in ghosts or anything paranormal, mostly because they never happened to me. Now, the old room we're staying in had this decorative wooden chair that had a slanted seat. I took note of the slant because I would end up putting my computer bag on the chair and felt comfortable doing so. I'm super careful with electronics, and the slanted seat made it so all my bags slid all the way down and couldn't fall off. It was a nice place, really. I also hung a nice new dress on the back of the chair. So we went out sightseeing, and when we come back, my dress was on the floor near the chair. I wasn't actually sure if the housemaids had touched it, but we had do not disturb. But anyway, we order some food and go to bed. Now my husband and I are laying in bed in the dark talking, almost asleep, when suddenly we hear a super loud slam. It was so loud that we shot awake to turn on the light. There on the other side of the room, a good 10 or 15 feet from my chair, is my computer bag, like somebody lifted it up and threw it down. It's impossible for it to have fallen here, and it slammed on the ground. I was so terrified, but my husband shrugged it off like, huh, guess this place is haunted. Guess the ghosts don't like things on the chair. I demanded we sleep with the light on. I didn't even have the courage to check my computer until the next day. The next morning, my husband asked the front desk if the hotel was known to be haunted, and the guy just laughed and said, oh, did you see the little girl? I was at my daughter's house. She and her husband were given his deceased uncle's home. One year, she and my granddaughter and I had gone to the store. My son-in-law James, who is 5'9 and stocky, and a friend of theirs who lives with them, Gary, who's 6'4 and thin build, both work delivering packages. But sometimes one would get off before the other. So the house is older. When you walk into the foyer, her room is off to the right. Straight ahead of you as you walk into the kitchen and off to the right is the living room with the bathroom off that. She keeps blacked out drapes in the living room so it's dark. So we went back to the store. Daughter goes out back. The kids run upstairs and I'm in the kitchen by the counter unloading bags. I'm facing the back door and I see a tall shadow move from the bathroom and it goes straight to the TV entertainment system. I think to myself that Gary's home because Gary always comes home and goes straight to the TV / entertainment system where he had a little bowl that he would put his keys and change in. I don't think twice about it. I get done and go to use the bathroom and as I leave, it crosses my mind I didn't see Gary in the living room. My daughter had come in from the back and I ask where Gary is. She says that he's still at work and I say no, I just saw him. And she just passes it off as nothing. I go to mulling over it, and when James comes home first, I'm a little bit freaked out and I ask James if his uncle was more like his build, or taller and thinner. James says his uncle was tall and thin. We got to talking, and James told me that his uncle made his bedroom where theirs was now. As he got sicker, he couldn't use the stairs, so if he went to the bathroom, he would just walk right through the doorway where my daughter and James had their entertainment system. And Gary gets home a few hours later. This isn't my story, but my father's. So for context, my dad grew up on dairy farms with his parents, who worked for a guy who owned multiple farms. They would hop around from different farms and manage them, so to speak. And we live in Australia. Anyway, while my dad was in his late teens to early 20s, they lived in this house that eventually became known as the spooky house to him, and his parents and this and what they experienced while living there really is. The house was known to have a very foreboding feeling to it, like something was always off, and you couldn't put a finger on it. The floor was made out of old wood and had little notches in it, and Nan, who's my dad's mum, would actually put little stoppers in to try and fill up the holes. A lot of the time, they will wake up in the morning and find that all of the stoppers are pushed up from underneath. My dad said too that they had giant hippie beads that would actually hang in the doorways, so big and heavy that it would have to be a big gust of wind to even move them slightly. He lost count of how many times he would get up early and find them swaying. Like somebody walked through them, but when he checked, everyone's asleep. I remember Dad telling me that it slowly gets worse over time, and they feel pretty scared. At one point, the Nan decided to contact a psychic to see if they could calm it down. Well, psychic wouldn't even get out of her car, let alone come up the driveway, absolutely refusing to go in there. The psychic told her that she wasn't going to go in, and she was scared and drove off. My dad said not long after this, things would start stalking the house. To this day, he doesn't know what they are, and doesn't really want to. My nan would come out in the morning, find the grass pressed down or trampled around the house, especially where the windows are. Her peg basket with clothes would be ripped to shreds, and everywhere. My dad said that she would get really scared because she kept buying new ones and it wouldn't stop happening. It started to get more serious when Dad would be woken up by scratching at the window outside. He was always scared to look back at it, because he knew whatever it was would be staring right back at him while scratching the window. They would check at morning to find the paint had been scratched off the house at around human height, finding grass that had actually been flattened. At one point, while my dad was working out a few paddocks over, Nan actually comes inside and is pretty worried and picks up my dad, and they huddle together in his bedroom waiting for daylight as the thing stalks around the outside of the house. Speaking of this, it stalks my dad more too. Once he was walking from the house to his dad and a few paddocks over to help with cows about 4 a.m. ish. It was cold and there's frost on the grass. My dad kept hearing a crunching sound behind him, so stopped to see what it is. My dad was like, huh, and started walking around again, and so did it. And again, stopping and starting. Now getting freaked out, my dad picks up the pace, but only this time it didn't stop, coming right at him. My dad bolted, ran over 2 paddocks and cleared the fences, and didn't stop until it reaches his other side of the property. Whenever my dad's parents left for a couple of days, he had the place to himself and would host massive parties with friends. They had the run of the house and could sleep wherever they wanted, but all of them ended up huddled in one room because when they go to sleep, one time it was just my dad and his cousin over, playing a game of pool and drinking. At one point in midnight, the both of them were sitting around and drinking heavily, and a figure appeared and said, "Go to bed." Dad said he was very drunk and said, "Eh, why the hell not?" And they went to bed. The next morning, they woke up to find the game of pool that was left unfinished put away, And his cousin asked, who was the person standing over their beds watching them sleep? But my dad doesn't remember. Anyway, there's more to that house than I can tell you. This is going to be a long post, so sorry about that. I will say though, that my dad and his parents moved out, and somebody else eventually moved in. Not long after, the house burnt down. Don't know what caused the fire, but I don't really want to know. About a year ago, I was at my dad's house taking care of the dog for the next week because he was gone camping with some friends and my sister. My wife was also going to Colombia with her family for a month. My in-laws asked me to take care of their dog while they were gone, and of course I said sure. So there I am, the first night at my dad's house, and the two dogs have been playing together all day. I decided to go to bed around 10, so I go to lock the front door and back. I make sure every door in the house except for my bedroom door is closed and I sleep. At about 12, I hear the dogs freaking out, barking and whining, so I jump out of bed and go and check on them. On my way downstairs, I see the back door unlocked and open. I look down at the dogs and they're both staring at the basement. They're whining and growling while laying in a puddle of their own urine. I see the basement doors open, so I have 911 ready to be called, and I go downstairs. I search around for a while. I'm not even sure what I'm looking for until I decide to go back upstairs and clean off the dogs. And maybe one, the dogs are finally clean and no longer focused on the basement. So I make sure the basement door is latched on and I go upstairs after making sure the back door is also locked. It's about 2. I once again hear the dogs barking and freak out, so I run downstairs. Once again, I see the back door is open. So is the basement door, but this time both of the dogs are staring out of the window into the backyard. So this time, I do not bother to go downstairs. I just close the door. I run back towards the other door and close it and lock it as hard and fast as I can. I go upstairs and didn't sleep for the rest of the night, but both dogs slept on the bed with me, scared. About a week after my dad gets home, I ask him if we can watch some of his home cameras for the first night while I was there. I had to wait for him to get home because I don't know how to work it. As I'm there watching it, just looking to see if anyone even went near the house, oddly there's nothing. The only weird thing is that around 12 and 2, the back door randomly flings open, with nothing going in or out. I still don't understand exactly what happened to this day. It all started from around April 2nd, 2019. And the doctors tell me and my family that my grandpa has around 6 hours to live. He's diagnosed with late stage liver cancer and cirrhosis. The whole experience was very emotional for me, because seeing a man I grew up with for 17 years on the verge of death is just too much to handle. Throughout the whole process of him passing, religion was a really big process as well. At the hospital, a chaplain came many times to comfort us with the promise of him going to a better place. I always thought it was a lie though. I thought if God really existed, he wouldn't have let my grandfather go through this process. Towards the end of his life, the doctors thought it'd be best if my grandpa was moved into a hospice. So before we moved him away, my grandpa wanted to call a priest from our local Catholic church to do his last rites at the hospice. I rode with my uncle to the hospice, and the whole ride is dreadful. The whole process was just too confusing for me, and I couldn't even believe he was going to die. I was led on this false hope that somehow he would survive. That was until we got to the hospice. When we arrived, the ambulance also arrived. Before he got taken into his room, the EMTs wanted to do their prayers for him. Everyone from doctors to the EMTs to the hospice owners all prayed for him. Unfortunately, the priest never arrived to do the last rites. My grandfather died 5 minutes after he got settled into a hospice room. So much quicker than what we expected. Seeing life go and drain so quickly in front of my eyes messed me up. It was unbelievable and devastating simultaneously. I couldn't properly think of anything at the time. Now fast forward to next week. The wake and funeral had already happened. I read a scripture from the Bible for him so I could have some closure once and for all. As I was starting to question my religion, but then the experience I'm about to tell you was the icing on the cake. I fully understand the experience, so, but I need to put in some background. In my grandpa's room, there's a big cross as seen in the photo, and then right next to the cross was a music box with a photo of what I assumed to be the Virgin Mary. When the string was pulled, a song would play out for 30 seconds. Every morning and night, my grandfather would pray to the cross and play the music box. He couldn't go to church as his condition worsened, so he prayed at home. And he was a really big believer of God, always telling me and my uncle and aunt that his life has to be lived with a little bit of good inside and God. And after he died, we promised that we'll keep the cross and music box in his memory. Now the experience we had to clean out a variety of his old junk though, was weird. Cleaning out clothes, also trying to find photos and other memorabilia for him. Me and my grandma were the only ones in the house at the time. Half of the room had already cleared out. It was mostly just clothes and really random stuff that wasn't necessarily of value to my grandpa. I was sitting on my grandpa's bed while she was finishing up cleaning the stuff in the closet. Then out of nowhere, the music box begins playing the same song it usually does. No one pulls the string though. My grandma literally jumps out of the closet in shock. The music is just played by itself, as if it's been pulled. I was scared and confused at the same time. It may have seemed minor to what I usually see on this board, but it perplexes me to this day. How can a music box just play like that, and in such weird timing too? As my grandmother put it, she told me that it was probably the last sign of my grandpa's presence letting us know he was okay, just before he went. Now sadly, no one believed me or her. I've kept this story in for so long, but I decided to tell it because I hope others will understand. I'm just glad knowing that he's made it to a better place. So I listened to a lot of paranormal podcasts while driving, and the one I was listening to tonight said something that brought back a memory from when I was 16. A friend of mine lived in this kind of big subdivision out in the middle of nowhere in Illinois. It was just cornfields and woods all around. One night, probably around 10 or 11, I was dropping him off at his home. This was over 10 years ago, and my car only had a tape deck, so I had a tape adapter thing hooked up to a portable CD player, so it turned my radio into a CD player. After I dropped him off, I switched the CD to this old punk band, a CD I had listened to many times. Well, it's super dark in his subdivision. Like, I swear, they didn't have street lights. I had been out there over 50 times and knew my way. Somehow, I managed to get lost. I don't know what happened, but I had no idea where I was. I thought, this is creepy, but it's only so big, so if I drive around eventually I'll find an exit. There was only one entrance that had a little gas station and a gate. So I'm driving around for probably 20 minutes, and the CD I had put in only had 6 songs on it. All 6 had played and the CD's over. So I was grabbing a different one's foot in, and all of a sudden, the most gut-wrenching scream comes through my speakers. I immediately pulled the CD player off the adapter cord and stopped it. Even 13 years later, I can still imagine the sound. It's a woman. It's the type of scream you'd hear if someone's being murdered or experiencing something equally as horrible. I drove the rest of the way in silence, trying to make sense of what had happened. I finally made it out of the subdivision and to my home. The next day, I was still trying to figure out what had happened, so I put the CD back in. I put it on the last song and waited to see if maybe it had some secret track that I had missed out, but I hear nothing. I still have no clue what happened to this day. I'm a bow hunter, and I like to still hunt. Which is when you're dressed in full camo and walk through the woods rather than sit in a tree stand. Last October, I was coming down a hill into a marshy area. It was kind of late, and enough so that the side of the mountain is covered in shadows. I live in PA where our mountains are completely covered in trees, and it gets dark fast. When I get to the bottom of the hill, I notice that it's completely silent. No sounds at all. I feel all the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. But I've been creeped out before in the woods, so it's not a big deal. I kept on. I've been hunting in this area before, but I've never went down the hill. I continue creeping through the woods, mind you, going slow. So you can barely hear my footsteps, because deer are hard to sneak up on. And then I hear a voice call out from behind a thicket of a small tree, saying, "Help, my name, come over here. I'm in trouble, help me." And I swear to God it's my brother's voice. But he lives in Nevada, another state, so it can't be my brother, but it said my name. It took me only a second to realize something wasn't right. And when I did, I ran faster than I ever have in my life. Only my dad knew where I was hunting that day. The area's massive. No one would be able to find me in there either. I don't understand how something could have known my name and sounded just like my brother. I don't know what the hell that thing was, but I've never went back to that woods again. I'll move to the desert with my brother, where at least I know he's around me. Last night, on the 22nd of July, my girlfriend and I were getting ready for bed, and like we usually do, go get our cats outside and head to bed. This time, it's a bit different, due to our cats almost avoiding going outside and coming straight to the bedroom. We ignore this behavior and keep them in the living room to make an easy cleanup if they need to go to the bathroom. We say goodnight to them, then heading into the bedroom with full intentions of going to bed. Now this is important because when we're in the bedroom, for the night, there is always shuffling on our silverware, or anything left out will get rattled and moved, even when the cats are sleeping. This time was different, however, and if whatever moves the dishes is actual, something both my girlfriend and I saw it, or them that night. I understand it could be due to disorientation because of working and being tired around 11:30. I rule out exhaustion because I'd gotten done recovering my hacked PS3 account and having to deal with some crap from Sony. We settle in to watch YouTube and head to bed when I get hungry. My girlfriend takes notice and gets up without saying a word, heading towards the door to make some food. As she opens the door, she looks back at myself to joke about YouTube when I see what looks like a thumb off the thumb of Spy Kids. Yet it's around 5'10". I instantly call my girlfriend away from the door when she freaks out, running back to the bed saying she had seen something by the apartment door. When we calm down, she explains to me what she saw. A being around 5'11" with a black suit on and an almost LED Y-sign strip going down its black suit, separating just above the chest area. We wandered the house looking for intruders, which is my first thought, but find nothing but scattered clothes that have been placed in laundry bins not minutes before the experience. Where we had seen the beings was warm spots on the ground, like they had been in the same spot for a while, with a heavy static feeling in the room and a very noticeable drop in the living room temperature as well. I was hoping to shed some light on my situation, but I can't really. I've never had anything like it before in my life. At the moment I'm in hospital, I was sleeping when I heard a child's voice say "Mum" as clear as a bell. I was disorientated from sleep, so I got up to go get my 2-year-old but realize where I am. My room is near the children's ward, so I turn my flashlight on my phone on just to make sure it's not a misplaced child. I decided I imagined it and sat back down, and the blankets moved around me, but I felt like there was a child's head resting on my feet. On goes the flashlight again. There's nothing. As soon as the light goes on, everything stops. Turning the lights back off. This happens 3 more times. Then the light is off again, and I feel the thing on my feet, then hear a child say again. And now I'm seeing an almost there bare outline of a tiny head walking around the bed. But each time I turn the lights on, I see nothing. I eventually decide to ignore it and try and go back to sleep again. And sleep I do. Now the weird thing about my experience is during my whole time there, I never had anything like it, or any experiences leading up to it. You'd think if it was all in my head it'd be due to changing meds or something, but there was none of that. It still goes on to be the most scary day of my life and an experience I've never been able to explain. I grew up on a reservation in the woods with my mother and father. My father worked as a welder and was a terrible alcoholic. His work was far off in the bigger city, so he would get up on early Monday morning to leave for work, which was around 4 hours away by car. My mother was disabled. I don't remember exactly why. I just know she had surgery on her shoulder earlier in life and it forced her to stop working. My father was very abusive to both me and my mother. I had actually called the police on him more than once in my childhood alone. To shorten this up, in my entire life, my father had done meth, weed, and alcohol, and ended up breaking his leg once due to getting on the drugs again. So he is too disabled. I'm only telling you this so that I was not raised properly by any means. I can't lie, I'm still very angry towards my father and haven't spoken to him since moving out. With my father being gone all the time, my mum, it was a whole different story, but I don't blame her. She tried her best with everything she had, but she definitely got worse as time went on. When I was little, my brother and I would hang out together, mostly because my mum was out in town and he needed to watch me. He wasn't very nice to me, and I don't blame him. He had been dealing with my parents for far longer than I had. I don't have the greatest memory, so you'll have to bear with me if you can, please. My mother told me some strange stories when I was older about some weird things that happened shortly after I arrived. She told me that one day, around midnight, the doorbell rang and there was a knock. Now she was confused, like anybody would be. Why would they knock this late at night? She told me that she went to look out the door. Now we had one of those big doors with the glass at the very top you can peek through. So she did so, and there's nobody out there. So she just opened the door. Remember, we lived out in the woods, 30 minutes out of town. There's no reason for anybody to be out here that late at night. And this was well before my father's drug addiction. She swears on her life that when she opened the door, everything in the house went haywire. All the lights began flickering on and off. The power, it went on, but suddenly turned off again on its own. And just as abruptly as it began, it stopped. She said that after the incident, I would not sleep in my bedroom alone. She'd always say apparently I'd cry and cry until she'd let me sleep with her. She told me that when I was younger, I had a tiny stuffed rabbit that would sing and dance. She left this in my bedroom, and it's the type that you need to press to actually turn on, not one that works through motion detection. She told me that apparently, it did go off sometimes in the dead middle of the night while she was trying to sleep. I promise you, with everything that I am, that this happened. Please believe me. I'm not writing this story as a story. I'm recalling events that happened strictly as they did. When I was little, the first thing I noticed was how I always felt as I was being watched. I never felt alone. Even in my bedroom, I didn't feel alone. You could chalk it up to all the physical and emotional abuse. I do suffer from anxiety and depression today. Oh, don't even get me started on high school. I was very isolated and felt very lonely for a huge amount of time in my childhood, and of course, I had friends that I made up in my head, and I'd go outside to play sometimes, but mostly watch TV. We didn't have a computer at the time. My brother moved out one day. He was more a wild person than me, and loved to party and drink. So my father told him he had to leave. My mum is still upset at him, but while he was here, there was a few strange things that we did experience. Sometimes together, but he didn't see it the same way I did. Now, we used to have one of them old TVs. You know the ones, the giant box ones with the wooden frame, early CRT flat screen, I guess. This was the first sign that things are really off. This would sometimes just turn right off after I turned it on again. And I had a lot of dreams about it. Sometimes when we'd leave for town, my mum and I, we'd come home, and it would be on when we sworn it was off. And as cliche as it sounds, it's always on static. My mother was a firm believer in spirits, so that's what she immediately thinks. And like I said, I was gullible as a child, and my mum knew best in my eyes. So of course, I believe her. I'm a very, very lonely child. I lived in the middle of nowhere and had nobody I could talk to. So sometimes, I spoke to the ghost we had. I even gave it a nickname, but you better believe I'm not saying it. It was horribly embarrassing. Now nothing really happens for a few years, other than the feeling, the same sort of ominous I'm watching you feeling. It wasn't until one night where I'd forgotten to turn off the lamp in the living room,
that I made my first mistake. I asked, "Can you turn off the lamp for me?" It flickered. The bulb flickered. I was in my mum's room at the time. I used to sleep on her floor. I suffered terribly from insomnia and still do, and I screamed. I screamed as loud as I could, in true terror. Of course my mum was awake and asked me what's wrong. I told her, but I honestly can't remember. Some of these memories are blocked out, or perhaps I pretend that they didn't happen because I didn't want to believe them. I'm almost, more than anything, numb to them. It's the only thing I can describe it as. But it got worse. This is a separate event, but I'm putting it here because this is how it somehow happened. It's hard to remember the exact date, but my sleep was horrible and still is. So to the days kind of blending together, and it's easier for you to forget things when you don't wake up early in the morning. My mum and I went into town. We're heading to my cousin's. I don't remember the exact reason. It may have been due to my aunt's death, but I'm still not sure. This could have been before she passed. Now, my cousins lived in a very busy part of our small town. She lived in an actual suburb, which is crazy to me, because I had to walk a mile to see my neighbours, not like we had any. My mum tells me that she didn't see this happen, but my cousin told me she believed me. When we entered her two-story, small and definitely minimum wage rental house, I felt dread that was almost overwhelming immediately, and of course brushed it off. I looked up the stairs. The staircase made me feel terrified. It felt like I shouldn't go up there, but I brushed it off too. Now, my mum then took a seat next to the front door, and I sat down on the couch. Out of the middle of nowhere, a series of loud farts came down the stairs, fast and frantically, and the front door, which had been locked, unlocked itself, swung open. So did the screen door, then slammed shut. My mum was sitting right next to the door, and she told me that she hadn't seen it. I mean, how the hell did she not see a door fly open? I asked my cousin, and she told me that her daughter wakes up in the night pointing at the corner of her room screaming ghost. We only ever went to see my cousin twice. That time, and once for a party, but I don't believe anything happened at the party. I never asked my cousin if she had a cat, but although I'm sure you won't believe this, I saw one at the top of the stairs. When we stepped into the building, there was a black cat staring at me from atop of the staircase. Fast forward to us being home. Quite a while after all of this happened, I was probably starting to get into my teens by this point. Things began getting weirder and weirder around my home. This first thing I noticed is, I didn't feel watched anymore, but I didn't feel alone. I guess I didn't feel scared. I've had this idea in my head that my house was haunted by someone who my mum thought was here to protect us. I totally embraced this new household member. Sometimes when I was sitting at my computer, which was my escape from my family, I'd feel a cold breeze around my neck, which I'd call my friend's name and feel it again. This is a mistake. I seriously advise you don't do this kind of thing. After this, things started escalating. I'd start to hear things from what I could have sworn was on my headphones, even if my computer's off. Of course, I chalk it up to being tired. I wasn't sleeping well in the summer at all. For a couple of nights, I would hear those noises. Now, these genuinely sounded like my friends on Skype talking to me. I can never figure out what they were saying. I'd just ignore it and go to bed thinking, "You're tired. You've been up too late." Now, I went to bed one night. I think I was laying on my side, trying to drift off when I heard it. I heard a horrifying scream coming from the right side of my bedroom. It sounded like a girl screaming in my bedroom. I swear to you, my TV is off. Everything's turned off in my bedroom. I dove under the covers and tried to hide, but after I hear this, I start to hear whispering, saying, "Help me." I was too scared to move. I didn't want to see whatever was making those noises, whatever was talking to me. So I, instead of getting up and leaving, put a pillow over my head and went to sleep. Or tried to. Eventually I did. The next morning I thought to myself, maybe it's my mum's TV. But I quickly put that theory to rest because she was across the house, between multiple walls, and the screen was clear as day. I don't think I mentioned this to anyone. I just went about my day until the next night. The whispers were back, saying the same thing. "Help me. Help me." I got brave. I was tired of hearing this girl. I wanted to sleep, so I yelled, "I don't know how to help you." And it stopped. Please believe me when I say this. I've gone through countless hours of therapy, talked about everything with my therapist. They never said anything to me about them thinking I had some kind of mental illness or hallucinations. They don't know what to make of it. Maybe I was too tired. Maybe I was scared of something that was only in my imagination. But this was as real to me as breathing is. Now, in fact, I never felt like somebody was with me after that. It felt so quiet and empty. I told my mum about it, and I don't remember what she said. It was so long ago now. I'd call her to ask, but it's early in the morning, and she's not awake now. There was time after that all happened, I'd be up late at night and paranoid again, like somebody was there, but I never experienced anything similar again. You'd think I believed in ghosts after all of that, right? But it's hard to say. I believe in what happened. I believe that there was someone scared and trapped. I wish I had helped her, but at the same time, part of me says it's not real. I had a friend from school, a native friend, and he told me some scary stuff near the end of high school. He told me things like, my friend took an Ouija board out to the old house on our road and broke down, and tried contacting spirits. He says he blacked out, and when he come to, it's burning in front of him on a rock, and he's been Christian ever since. Or the story of the little girls that haunts his home, or the native triad that lures you in at night trying to take you. There's tons of these stories. These are just the ones I remember. It makes you think, when the sun goes down at night, maybe that's when a whole world comes up. A world of people who are lost and scared. A world of people who want nothing more than to torment you. The most terrifying story that ever happened to me was when I was too young to even know about it. When I was a young child, my mum said that I would always have trouble sleeping. Apparently, she would come to me in the night and I would complain about the man saying the numbers. She just thought it was my sleep deprivation or mind playing tricks on me and never thought too much of it. Apparently, I would hear someone count from 1 to 10 in a very deep voice, and the voice would slowly count quicker and quicker. She didn't think too much of it, but did consider taking me to a doctor. That all changed, however, when one day she was exploring parts of the house that she hadn't went before. This was specifically the attic. She went there when she bought the home, but never had a need to go up there, because her house was big but had lots of storage space, being an old Victorian house. Now she notices something strange as she's pushing around near the window. There's something scratched into the floor, and she's not seen it before. She goes and grabs a torch, and to her horror, there's the numbers marked from 1 to 10. She screamed and sprinted downstairs, grabbed me, and gone to wait in a neighbor's house until my dad come home. What's worse is my dad didn't even believe her until he saw the numbers for himself. He always thought I was daydreaming or just making it up for attention, but seeing them numbers was what really shook him. After this, we quickly moved houses, and I don't know what came of that place. I live in the suburbs, where across the road is a forest which eventually backs up onto a river. Last night around midnight, my dog was scratching at the front door, wanting to be let out to pee. Usually I just let her out in the backyard, but it being a nice summer night anyway, I put her on a leash and let her across the street to the forest so she could do her business. But as soon as we got across the street, she started tugging on the leash and growling, looking towards the forest. I look up and notice a dozen twinkling lights coming from the otherwise pitch black forest, as if people are shining flashlights in my direction. I freaked out, picked up my dog and ran all the way home, looking behind me the whole time. I ran up to my bedroom, which has a pretty good view of the forest, and I began watching out my window. I saw about a dozen men walk out carrying flashlights. They looked as though they were wearing suits in the forest, but the only light I had was a street lamp, so they may have been wearing full black outfits. A couple of them were carrying different briefcases, and about four of them were carrying a door. Yep, a random door off its hinges. Then trailing behind them is a woman in a white dress. They walk to the middle of the forest, where the girl proceeds to squat down and pee in the middle of the street. It was then that my neighbour down the road, who I'm guessing saw the flashlights through his window, started screaming, "Hey, what are you doing?" to where the group of people just turned around and casually walked back across the street and into the forest. Deeper now. I woke up my parents, who believed me, but think that I truly just had a bad dream until the morning, when all of the neighbours were outside talking about the occurrence. Word started travelling around the block, and now everyone's talking about it. A couple of neighbours have already called law enforcement about it to keep an eye on our forest / street. There's a ton of rumours going around that they're a cult. I'm just glad I got out of there though when I did. God knows what would have happened if they found me out on my own in the forest. It scares the heck out of me walking home alone at night now too. This was a couple of months ago. I was staying the night at my SO's house. We're laying in bed watching TV. Her two daughters, aged 5 and 8, came into the room. The 5-year-old was leaning against my side of the bed and looking over my chest towards her mother, whose side of the bed is near the wall. The 5-year-old says, "Who's that lady?" Me, thinking she's being silly, says, "That's your mum." But she says, "No, the lady behind her." She was staring at the wall, looking at eye level, where about a person's eye would be if they're standing there. This gives me chills, so my girlfriend, who was chatting with her other daughter, didn't hear the exchange. Later when I tell her, she gets freaked out and told me that she's pretty sure the place is haunted. Apparently she's had all sorts of stuff happen. Now when I go over there, I get paranoid and have this eerie feeling. I haven't had any experiences like it since, but I've not been there for too long. I really hope there's no more. So some brief background. I work for a company that answers phones and takes messages for businesses when they're closed and out for lunch. Now, we answer for a variety of companies in different fields, including funeral homes. The situation has happened twice that I have spoken to a person, myself, on the phone, and a few other times as well, and I think it's very interesting and thought maybe I could discuss it with you. So the first time it happened, I took the message from this lady whose mother passed away recently. The body was already picked up and dressed and all that, and was scheduled for the funeral the following day. She calls and is weepy and says if her mother's phone is still in her jacket pocket because they just got a call from her number. I ended up dispatching the call, calling the director to deliver the message verbally, and he says that he'll call her, but the body is in the casket and closed. Waiting in their parlor, I say, wow, weird, and he kind of chuckles and says, this kind of thing happens more than you think. It's been a year or so since that call, and I just yesterday got another call from another funeral home, and other people I work with have had similar types of stories. It's really creepy and interesting to me at the same time.